You know, I want to talk about one of the most important subjects this morning that could ever touch our lives as believers, namely the issue of victory over sin in our life. That is so important, as we've seen walking through this series together. We saw before we came to Galatians that we were in the book of Hosea, the series Wisdom for Our Age. We see in Hosea that even then, now, those same abiding principles hold true for us, that Israel was failing God, remember, by turning away from God and turning to idols, and they were living in horrific sin. And the series was based on the wisdom that we need today, the very same wisdom that they needed. And we started Hosea by doing something unique. We started with the last verse of Hosea and worked our way backwards. Do you remember that verse? Let's read it together. Whoever is wise, let him understand these things. Whoever is discerning, let him know them. And here it is. For the ways of the Lord are right, and the righteous will walk in them, but transgressors will stumble in them. We saw that one of the key wisdom principles in that series, one of six that we brought to you, was the wise person will make sowing to the Spirit the what? Choice of their life. And this is why we came to Galatians, looking at this abiding principle, this wisdom truth. And remember back then, how many of you, I know you remember every word I say. You remember weeks and weeks and weeks, months and months and months ago, I said that that one wisdom principle would be brought out later. And here we are, and we're going to start to see it develop over the weeks and months to come. We will dive into that, especially when we get to chapter 6, okay? However, this same truth is applied in the spirit walk to win. It starts with choice. It starts with choice. And the sowing to the Spirit, it's this law of the harvest that we saw in Hosea, that you reap what one sows. And it's combined with the law of love that we just saw a while ago, a few weeks ago. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. And that will fulfill the whole law. It combines them. So what did we look at last week? We looked at the enemy within. And we're all too familiar with that enemy, the flesh, right? We saw that the flesh has one purpose, self. It wants to promote self. And I challenged you to go through those deeds of the flesh in Galatians 5, all 15 of them, and actually look at them. And actually allow the Spirit for you to grade yourself of where I am at on these sins in my life. One thing I am positive of, no one here scored a perfect score from all 15 sins. Did any of you get a perfect score in every area? You see, there is not one of us here this morning, no one that's walking the face of the earth today who has not wrestled with sin, who has not felt sin's power, or who hasn't experienced the damaging results and effects of sinful choices. We have all lost battles to this enemy within. We've all lost battles to the sinful flesh that still exists within us. Confirming what King Solomon said in 1 Kings 8:46, for there is no man who does not sin. And confirming in the New Testament what Paul says when he says, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God in Romans 3:23. But you know what? There's a day coming, amen. Praise the Lord, that we will be ultimately and finally and completely delivered from all sin. We saw this back in Galatians 5, chapter 5, where it said, we saw a living faith is a waiting faith. And that waiting faith is that not just waiting around, but it's that eager anticipation of that hope and righteousness yet to come. That guaranteed hope that one day, though I'm declared righteous before God, one day, ultimately, I will be sinless with him. Are you thankful for that? Well, one day that's coming. But what about now? What about now until that glorious day? What about this road we're walking now, this life we're living now? Can we experience victory over sin? Some of you may be saying, well, I do from time to time, or I do more so than not. Some of you may be saying, I rarely do. Must we go through this life constantly bullied and constantly pummeled by the flesh? Have we become so sinister and so cynical in our walk that we accept sin as a natural and normal result in our life? You know, just like in chess, it's a game of strategy and a game of right moves. Yet pieces with extreme power can fall to little old pawns. I want to tell you this morning, the quick answer to that question is, yes, we can. Say, yes, I can live in victory. You see, victory over sin, more victory than we can imagine, is even possible if we just take God at his word. The enemy within need not win. We saw last week, the enemy within is powerless. It must yield to the Holy Spirit when the Holy Spirit is allowed to rule and reign in our life. What we need to understand today is we do not start from a position of defeat. We start from a position of victory. Therefore, you have all the power necessary within you to live victoriously when we follow the Lord and his path to that victory. You see, when we walk by the Spirit, never forget you are on the walk to win in everything God's called you to do. And that excites me. That encourages me. Who doesn't want that? Who does not want that type of life? So this morning, what we're going to do, we're going to look with great interest to what Paul says is the key to victory over sin. And namely, that is walking by the Spirit. Today's message is entitled, The Spirit Walk to Win. There's a purpose in it, and I want to do that with you. Well, remember how we started Galatians, right? We're in our 20th message, and we're just now getting to the Spirit Walk, but that was very important. Remember, we started Galatians by looking at what is the gospel. You must know the true gospel. You must be able to defend the true gospel, proclaim the true gospel, which will enable you to live out the true gospel. Well, we're going to do the very same thing with the Spirit Walk. We must understand it. Then we must know it if we're going to walk in it. So today, we're going to look at what does it mean, why should I want to, and we're going to look at one little place where you can start today, all right? So as we move on, we're going to be moving on into all the fruits of the Spirit. We're going to look at each individual fruit. And then we're going to move into chapter 6, and we're going to talk about sowing to the Spirit. So we're going to get knee-deep in this Holy Spirit walk. But you must know what it means. Let's define it. Let's see why we should want it. And let's see where we must start before we move in to the rest of the book. Please look with me. Today we're only going to look at three verses, and we're only going to look at phrases in three verses, and then we'll go back to the expository of the book in future weeks. But look at verse 16, 18, and 25. But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not carry out the desires of the flesh. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. There's verse 25. If we live by the Spirit, let us also walk by the Spirit. You know, I've asked a lot of people what this means. What's the first walk by mean? What's the led by mean? What's the live by mean? What's the next walk by mean? And it's very interesting, all the answers you receive. But let's try to identify and nail that down this morning in a very simplistic way. What does it mean to walk by the Spirit? Look at the terms in the passage, everyone. Walk, led, walk. All right? Some of you might be thinking, well, wait a minute. He left out live. What about live by the Spirit? Let's make sure we understand what this means in this context, that if we live by the Spirit, or NIV, since we live by the Spirit means we have gone from spiritual death to spiritual life by the Spirit, then walk by the Spirit. Since I am no longer bound under the law, enchained by the law, imprisoned by the law, since I am no longer under that tutor we saw, imprisoned, and since the law has shown me to be a transgressor, since I have now, by faith, through grace, received Christ as my Lord and Savior, that was by the instrumentation and the guiding power of the Holy Spirit in my life. I am now a son of God, we saw in Galatians. I am now a child of God. I am now born again. I now have this wonderful, glorious inheritance, and now I finally live. I've gone from death to life. So since I have eternal life by the Spirit, let me then walk by Him. That's that word live, okay? That's why we're not going to talk about it today. Walk, led, walk. Let's focus here in verse 16 on the word walk. This word walk here is a metaphor for your daily living. This is your daily living in life. And here we must break into grammar. We must see the Greek. The grammar means by the agency of, by the agency of the Spirit, meaning a person through which power is exerted, through which an act, an end is achieved. The grammar means by the agency of, or by means of, which speaks of God's power, the Holy Spirit's power. So in this verse, walk by equals His power. You see this? Now let's look at this word led in verse 18. This walking or living by the Spirit is now called being led by the Spirit. You see, the Spirit is the leader, is the emphasis, not you, not me. And we are to be His followers. He is Lord, and here we are to treat Him accordingly as Lord. So in being led by the Spirit, Paul now changes in the grammar to the passive tense, meaning we are to willingly, wantingly, yielding to allow the Spirit to lead us, which speaks of His guidance. So this word led is be led equals His guidance. So you see His power. Now you see His guidance. How do we see that today? What's a funny analogy? How many of you use Google Maps? Right? I need to know where to go. And 300 feet, go right. At the stoplight, turn left. Stay in the right lane and merge into this. You know, on my motorcycle and riding with the guys, it'll actually do that. It starts showing you the lane to go in. You're going to be merging into this highway. Amen. And how about this one? You have arrived at your destination. With God, He's always perfect about that. But I've been out in the middle of a field at one time. I don't think this is my destination. But this is him guiding. It's like that. The Holy Spirit will guide you and lead you. But you must be willing to turn when he tells you to turn, merge when he tells you to merge. So we have this first walk is his power. This second walk is his guidance. Look at verse 25. Wait, is it just another use of walk? No. This word for walk is a different word than the word used in verse 16. This is the word that means conform, meaning walk in a line. Walk in a line, meaning get in line with the Spirit. Keep in step with the Spirit. Toe the line by the Spirit. This walk by in verse 25 is his rules. Fall in line. So you walk by his power, you walk in his guidance, and you walk by following his rules. That's the Spirit walk. Wow. It's like being in basic training. How many of you have ever been to basic training in the military? Well, if you haven't, trust me, you can still yet go. Maybe. But you show up, and after you start getting a little military bearing, and they start teaching you a little bit, you'll see this man or woman come up and they have a unique hat. And they go, fall in! You all fall in. Right face! Boom! Boom! Forward! And you are walking in line to everything he says in perfect cadence and in perfect rhythm. That is that word walk. In verse 25. You know, another one is like this. How many of you have in your automobiles lane assist? Where's Ethan?
In children's church.
Oh, he's in children's church. This is a great tool for him. Kayla needs one. I'm kidding, honey. Lane assist. I have one, and you're driving, and you have your lane there. And when you start veering over the lane, and the wheel starts wanting to nudge you back, that's how the Holy Spirit works in your life. He's there to convict you. You know his rules. Stay in my lane. But you know what's unique about the lane assist? It gives me my nudge. It gets me over. It's letting me know I'm leaving the lane, but I can override it and leave the lane. Wow. You see, if you walk by the Spirit to win, it only means a life of victory. Walking by the Spirit means letting the Holy Spirit take control of our lives, letting the Holy Spirit lead every aspect of our life, letting the Holy Spirit control where he wants to take us, where we need to go, his plan for our lives. It talks about not just that, but what do you watch? What do you read? And how we speak, and even how we think. Walking by the Spirit means letting the Holy Spirit dictate our priorities and also rearrange our values. That runs contrary to selfish flesh, doesn't it? We walk and live by his power. Therefore, we're led by his guidance. And we walk conforming to his rules. You see, victory over the flesh and its service of self only come through the power of God, following his guidance, willing to submit to his ways. And do you see how beautiful that is in this passage in walking by the Spirit? Amen? So in other words, here it goes. To walk by the Spirit is to let the Spirit run your life. We don't like, how many of you had a little cringe? Let the Spirit run your life. There you go. That's it. But he's not an evil dictator, is he? No, and that always brings the victorious, abundant life. I also want you to know These words, walk, led, walk, they're all in the present tense, meaning you always do it, you never stop. It's a continuous lifestyle. That means all the time, in every situation, everywhere. Praise God that He is with us 24/7. Amen. So walking by the Spirit doesn't just mean on Sunday at church. It means Monday through Saturday, every minute of the day. Not just when you are with others, but when you're all alone. Not just when you're around friends, but when you're amongst enemies. Not just around those whom you like, but even those you kind of dislike. But let's make sure we stay in context here. I want you to know we are not talking about the Spirit's guidance and leading today as to what washing machine should we buy? What home should we purchase? What job is God taking me to? What car to purchase? Yes, the Spirit guides and leads in all of those areas. But here, right here, is the crux of the issue. Paul is talking about your spiritual victory on the battlefield of good versus evil, because that goes to everything else in how God leads in your life. It's the Spirit versus the flesh. Paul is talking about the Holy Spirit as our beautiful, wonderful helper, the power, the wisdom you need to live in victory over sin. And that's what He wants for us. That's ultimately what God wants for us, is to sanctify us in this sanctification process to be more and more like Jesus. To walk as this people that we are, set apart by God. To live differently. And radically so, from the world, the flesh, and the devil. You see, this walk by the Spirit is so that we, what, verse 16, will not carry out the desires of the flesh. Because that's where it all starts going wrong. You know, I want to share something with you in the Greek right here. There is a double negative here, stressing the truth of what seems impossible. Listen to it and the double negative. Okay, it's not that the idea here of the double negative is you will by no means or you absolutely will not carry out or gratify the desires of the flesh. That's the double negative. You will by no means. You absolutely will not if you're walking by the Spirit. Is that having the impact it should? Think about what is being said here. Stop and ponder what the Lord is really telling you. And grab some hope. Look at the good and the amazing potential of that promise. He's saying, with God the Spirit in us and walking by the Spirit in His power, yielding to His guidance, falling in line with His rules, you will absolutely not gratify, absolutely will not act on the desires of the flesh. Wow, that when gratified, issue forth those terrible deeds of the flesh and things like them listed in verses 19 through 21. God is saying you can absolutely have victory. Totally opposite of what your flesh wants to tell you. Wow. This is a guaranteed promise if we will choose to walk and yield to the Holy Spirit who indwells us. I love that. That is hope. That is real hope. It's a guaranteed hope. When you are facing and staring into the temptations of the flesh, the convicting ministry of the Holy Spirit in you, He will seek to exert His desire for you, that you might walk in the ways of Him walk in the ways of God, which are contained in his word, the very word of God, and do that which is pleasing to God, not your flesh. You see, you must be thankful and know that the Spirit will not sit idly by. He cares for you too much. He loves you. You're not in it alone. Okay. He loves me. He cares for me. He will not sit idly by and let my flesh rule. And he says, you can do this with me, with my power, with my guidance, by my way. But he says to all of us, you must decide. You must decide what you will do with the enemy within, the flesh. Are you going to obey the Spirit? Verse 25, that power, that obedient walk, the Spirit who's leading. There's verse 18. Are you going to obey me or the flesh? We often wonder that we see in God's word two sides to the coin. We see in Psalm 101 the I will not. I will not set my eyes. I will not put any vile thing before my face. I will not do this. I will do this. I will do that. It's that mindset and heart set that sets your will with God. And then it's through his power and his guidance and his rules that accomplishes anything and everything good and victorious in us, because we can't do anything in our own strength. That's what it is. You see, when you say, yes, I will obey the Spirit, you will find the power to obey the Spirit. That seems so simple. Yes, I will obey the Spirit. And watch him flood his power in you to accomplish this, that. You will discover that obedience has a momentum of its own. Wow. Oh, my word. Look at our sister who's back. Yay! I know I'm sidetracking here. Back from India, right? Gone for 3 or 4 months. We miss you. We love you. Glad you're back. You got to tell me everything about what God did in your life as you walked in the Spirit in India, okay? We're glad to have her back. Everybody, she's back. She's safe. I didn't see that till now. But hey, that's just walking in the Spirit, right? My sister. Guys, do you know obedience has a momentum of its own? And did you know every step of obedience takes you further and further into habits of obedience, just as this. Every sin obeyed also has a momentum of its own and takes you further into the habits of sin. Wow, where do we see that? Well, let's see this played out in the Word of God. Look what Paul said in Romans 6:19. He said, I am speaking in human terms because of the weakness of your flesh. For just as you presented your members as slaves to impurity and to lawlessness, resulting in further lawlessness. Sin, momentum, sin. So now present your members as slaves to righteousness, right actions before God. God's right ways are right. The righteous will walk in them, resulting in sanctification. That sanctification is more and more Christ-likeness. Do you see that? You can do this. The more you choose the Lord and his way, the more he empowers you, the more sanctification takes place in your life, and more victorious you become in your relationship with him and in your relationships with others, and the more you are used for God's plan in your life. But the same is opposite with sin. How many of you have known at times in your life, the more you yield to the flesh, the more that sinful momentum gets going in your life. What's the old adage? Sin takes you to places you never thought you'd go, keeps you there longer than you'd ever thought you'd stay, and costs you more than you ever thought you'd pay. That's the momentum of sin. Well, it's our choice. So we see, what does it mean to walk by the Spirit? Now, why should I want to walk by the Spirit? Yes, because we love God. But let's look. There are many reasons. But I want to look at two reasons today. And I think the first reason may surprise many of us. I wonder how many people would pick this as their very first reason to why they want to walk in the Spirit. First and foremost, it's for the glory of God. Hey, why do you want to walk by the Spirit, Pastor Aaron? Well, before digging into this and going deeper, what I said, well, for the glory of God. Wow. Jesus said in John 15:8, my Father is glorified by this, that you bear much fruit and so prove to be my disciples. There's the Spirit fruit. But Jesus says, by that my Father is glorified. You see, when we walk by the Spirit, allowing the Spirit to replace the works of the flesh with these fruits of the Spirit that we're going to be seeing, our very transformed lives by the Spirit will not only prove that we are the true disciples of Jesus Christ, it's that lifestyle that authenticates who we are, but they will glorify God, the one who so wonderfully saved me, who saved you, and through His Spirit so radically transformed our lives. Spirit fruit will reflect the character of God and shine all attention and praise upon whom changed you. Jesus said further in Matthew 5:16, let your light shine before men in such a way that they may see your good works, there's the fruit, and what? Glorify your Father in heaven. How many of us would say our first and foremost reason to want to walk in the Spirit is to glorify God? This word, glorify, comes from the Greek word doxa. We get the English word doxology. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, our Father, here below. Right? Glory to God. Doxology. Forgive my singing. God just says, lift a joyful noise. It means an opinion or estimate concerning someone or something. The Spirit walk, my friends, is no higher or lower than your answer to that question, which is this. What is your opinion and estimate of God? What is your true opinion of God Almighty? What is our estimate of our Lord? What is His value? Charles Spurgeon once said, the word of God is the anvil upon which the opinions of men are smashed. Those opinions include your opinions of God. We want to have the opinion of God, of His truth and His right character and who He is. You see, the higher, the purer, the more biblically accurate our opinion of God is, the more we will want all glory, all praise, all worship, all credit for anything and everything in our lives to be directed directly at Him and Him alone, for that is where it belongs, and rightfully so. Isn't that what we want? But is that what we want with our whole heart? It's like this. You see, God will be glorified in us and through us when He is our ultimate satisfaction. When our greatest desire is to be in His presence and to help others become aware of His goodness and aware of His love, living a life that desires to glorify God will be the natural result in your life. Isn't that beautiful? Giving God glory goes beyond bowing down. It goes beyond worshiping or praising with our lips. It's allowing the Holy Spirit to come into our hearts, working mightily the work of transformation and sanctification in our life that does something, that produces in us a righteousness and a righteous character that gives evidence of the amazing work of God in a dead dog like me. Somebody who could do nothing in his own, just dead, miserable in his sins. But through His transforming power, how could he and he alone not get all glory? You see, the more we love Him because He first loved us, the more our hearts are melted, the more our hearts are overwhelmed by His kindness. Aren't you overwhelmed by His patience with you? Aren't you overwhelmed by His gentleness with me, with you? Oh, where would I be without His compassion? The more our hearts, when we contemplate and have God so high and lofty in our estimate of Him, we'll want to glorify Him and lift Him up. And the more we will be grieved when we see a world that does not give God His glory and the honor that He deserves, and will say, oh Lord, I'll be your instrument to point glory to you. May I be, like you said, your light, that I may shine so bright through your Spirit walk that no one will be able to help but to give glory to you, God. Wow. When we have the proper knowledge and view and value of God, our Savior Jesus Christ, we will devote our lives through the power of the Spirit to live for God and God alone, for God's glory. And therefore, we cannot possibly, when we're yielding to that, seek glory for ourselves. But rather, we will live, as Paul says in 1 Corinthians 10:31, whether then you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. And you know, when the Apostle Paul knew he was going to die, his very last words to the saints, to Him be the glory forever and ever. Amen. And we don't hear from him again. Then he goes, meets Jesus. So why should I want to walk by the Spirit for the glory of God? This is first and foremost. Let's look at another one today as we close. Well, as we get near there. For your good and the good of others. Okay, there is something in it for me. It's a good thing. It's okay to love yourself godly. Do you want the good things of God in your life? That's okay. He wants them for you too. So let me ask you a very ridiculous question. Would your life be more blessed? Would you be happier if you had more of the fruit of the Spirit in your life? Would it be more blessed if you had more love, more joy? How about peace? How about patience? How about self-control? Or would you say, no, 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 my life would be more blessed if I had me a little bit more anger. I want me some more strife. Oh, man. You know, I'm a little low on dissension. I think I want some more dissension. In fact, you know, give me that immorality. Ooh, I love jealousy. I want more jealousy. Would that be good for you? But how about would it be good for others? No. You see, responding to the Spirit's control in our lives, to His leading in our lives, to His ways, is not confining. It is not a crushing burden. It is not a duty that's going to take the fun out of life. That's the lie of the devil. It's quite opposite. It is the flesh that wants you to think that. If we could only understand God's amazing grace, if we could only tap in and truly know the height, the width, the depth, and the length of the love of God, that the Spirit's love for me and His desire for me, which is actually part of the big prayer book and what we should be praying big about. Oh, I would see this as an invitation to experience something, to experience more of God's goodness than I could ever hope to experience, than I could ever ask, think, or imagine that I could. Ephesians 2:20. Do you know that the Holy Spirit will flood into you all His power so that you can live the blessed life beyond anything you can ask, beyond anything you think, more than you can even imagine, that's yours? You know, throughout the Old Testament, we see something. And we see it through the prophets speaking for God. What would they plead over and over and over again for the people? To walk in His ways. Just go look at Deuteronomy 5, 8, 10, 19, 26, 28, 30, etc., and on it goes, even in Hosea. I want you to listen to your Lord. Let's listen to Him through Psalm 81. But my people did not listen to my voice, and Israel did not obey me. Oh, that my people would listen to me, that Israel would walk in my ways. But I would feed you with the finest of the wheat, and with honey from the rock I would satisfy you. If only my people would walk in my ways. Listen to Isaiah 30:18. The Lord longs to be gracious to you, and therefore He waits on high to have compassion on you. Amen. Oh, don't you love that about the Lord? God wants to do you good and nothing but what's for your good. God longs to bless you if you will only walk in His ways. Indeed, how much suffering do we need to endure before we get this? How much suffering of our own making do we need to endure, more than we ever should, if we would only stop and hear the heart of God and see His love and submit ourselves to Him and walk in His ways? Imagine if the world was like that, if the church in whole was like that. You see, in the hymn, "What a Friend We Have in Jesus," one line reads this: "Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear, all because we do not carry everything to God in prayer." That's so true. But you could also add this: all because we will not listen to the Spirit and walk in His ways. It don't quite fit, does it? But oh, what pain we often forfeit. Oh, man, oh, what needless pain we bear. We're going to see next week that walking by the Spirit and allowing Him to grow His fruit in our lives is the only pathway to the abundant life Jesus promised to those who love and obey Him. It's the only way. So what does it mean to walk by the Spirit? Why should I want to walk by the Spirit? Let's close today. Where do I begin to walk by the Spirit? Okay, I just said next week, forgive me. I won't be here next week. I'll be here the week after, but Pastor Jacob's the next 2 weeks going to finish the series Haggai. Consider this, and then we have communion. So you have 3 weeks before we come back to Galatians, and I want you to do this. Do this. Where do I begin? There are many, 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 many practical steps that we can take to begin to walk by the Holy Spirit, to have this abundant fruit in our lives that way outweigh the flesh. And we're going to go into a lot of those when we get into the fruit of the Spirit, and especially when we get into chapter 6 on sowing to the Spirit. So today, now that we see what it means, why we should want to, what I'm about to tell you isn't where most say to start. But I believe starting here is paramount to the success God wants you to have in achieving the results of the Spirit walk in the weeks to come. What I'm going to tell you today on where to begin is more challenging than you may think. Because where to begin is where you cannot hide. Only the real truth and all its ugliness at times, only there is where it exists. I want you to start where it all must start, where it all boils down to, where it's the core of the issues. And I want you to start with your heart. Start with your heart. You see, we saw last week that the mind must be set on the interest of God and not our own. And those interests of the mind, the Bible always shows us, flow from the heart. Walking by the Spirit always starts in the heart. This is always the core of the issue. The battle between the flesh and the Spirit is really a battle for your heart. We saw it was a battle for your soul. I know that's true because of my own sin. I know it starts in the heart because I'm a father. I know it starts in the heart because I'm a husband, and I know conflict. I know when I sin. I know it starts in the heart because I'm a friend of you and you're a friend of me and I've had friends. I know in relationships it starts in the heart. I know it starts in the heart because I'm a coworker, and I know it starts in the heart because I'm a pastor and deal with all kinds of sin. Oh, my word, you know as well as I know it starts in your heart. It's the heart that is evil and deceitful. Who can know it? Who? Can the heart never fake out? But God Himself. The heart is the battlefield where the flesh sets its desire, where it sets its self-interest against the Spirit's that flows to the mind and into our action. I want you to know your heart is the war zone. Your heart is ground zero. What's going on in your heart? Listen to this mashup of some scripture. Every man's way is right in his own eyes, but the Lord weighs the heart. I, the Lord, search the heart. I test the mind. For God sees not as man sees. For man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. In heaven, your dwelling place, and forgive and act and render to each according to his ways, whose heart you know. For you alone know the hearts of all the sons of men. It's there. That is where God wants to transform you. David once asked this of God, "Examine me, O Lord, and try me. Test my mind and my heart." Well, that's a big ask, isn't it? Boy, your heart better be wanting that answer. Do you remember what God said about David in Acts 13:22? In just one reference, he said, "I found David, the son of Jesse, a man after my heart." Here's verse 25. "Who will do all my will?" There's walk, led walk. And he looked at his heart. I mean, come on, we're all familiar with the battle David lost to the flesh with Bathsheba, right? But David never lost the battle of his heart for the Lord. He may have lost his battle with lust, but he never lost the war for his love of his God, the one true God. You see, David had something. He had a radical love for God. And though his flesh tripped him up at times, it never captured his heart. It never became a POW. It never took his heart from God. When David sinned, he grieved deeply, and he went back to God in repentance, and he went back to him in tears and to know God more intimately, and he wanted to praise him even more as a loving, gracious, merciful, and forgiving God. You see, David not only knew the Lord's salvation, he also knew his mercy. Don't we know his grace? And don't we know his mercy? And you know what David said? He said, "My soul pants and thirsts for God." Psalm 42, 1 through. You see, hey, we've had a lot of sick. A lot of you are home sicky-sick. I was home sick. We've all been sick. What does everyone tell you to do when you're sick? Gabe, what do they tell you to do when you're sick? Right? Drink your fluids. Drink plenty of liquids when you're sick. Well, make sure you eat, even if you're not hungry, to keep up your strength. Did you know the average person is more dehydrated on a daily basis than they're supposed to be? Yeah, they're walking around dehydrated. They don't even know it. Listen to what God said in Amos 8:11. One of God's plagues on Israel was to send a physical famine. But listen to this. But a far worse plague was when God sent a famine of his word in Amos 8. I wonder how many Christians today have a self-imposed famine of the Word of God in their life. A massive spirit walk roadblock. Is the average Christian spiritually dehydrated? Do they hunger and thirst for the Lord? There's no need to be spiritually dehydrated. You have God. You have the Holy Spirit indwelling you, and you have his word. I want to know, where are the hearts today throughout the church in whole that hunger and thirst for God? Where are the hearts that weep and repent when the battle of the flesh is lost? Where are the hearts that hunger, Ephesians 3:16, to be strengthened in your inner being with power through his Holy Spirit? I want to be that Christian, don't you? I want you to take courage. You cannot control the whole church in the world. You can pray big for them. All you have to do is care about your walk with God being a testimony to others. You just look at the victory in your life. No Christian will ever be truly happy with superficial Christianity. It will never bring the joy. So if our hearts are not as warm as they could be, and our desire for the Spirit's total control of our life is not what it ought to be, we need to go on our knees in prayer after we let the Spirit sift our heart, for we are not where we should be. But he will be faithful to forgive you and get you where he wants you to go. So, let's close with this. Don't be fooled by the flesh. Victory is yours. Walking by the Spirit ushers in your usefulness, my friends, to the Lord. It ushers in your beautiful fellowship with the Lord and your blessings from the Lord. Do your walk through his power, through his guidance, by his rules, and watch God do amazing things in and through you. So this week, as you search your heart, I want you to look at praying like this. I want you to look at Psalm 119, 33 through 40 as the praise team comes up. Here is a prayer the Holy Spirit will answer for you. Teach me, O Lord, the way of your statutes, and I shall observe it to the end. Give me understanding that I may observe your law and keep it with all my heart. Make me walk in the path of your commandments, for I delight in it. O Lord, incline my heart to your testimonies and not to dishonest gain. Turn away my eyes from looking at vanity and revive me, Lord, in your ways. Establish your word to your servant as that which produces reverence for you. What is your opinion of God? Turn away my reproach, which I dread, for your ordinances are so good. Oh, Lord, I long for your precepts. So, Lord, Lord, revive me through your righteousness and help me walk in your righteous ways. Teach me and give me understanding that I may observe your law and keep it with all my heart. Make me walk, Lord. Incline my heart, Lord. Turn away my eyes, Lord. Revive me in your way, Lord. Establish your word to your servant, Lord, and produce the right reverence for you in my life. So let's please stand and sing to our Lord. Have thine own way, Lord. Mold me and make me after thy will. Hold o'er my being absolute sway. Fill with thy spirit till all shall see Christ only, always living in me. Can we sing that? Can we ask God for that? Can this be our true heart and request of God? Let's sing it to him.